Joshua called 12 men to come wade in the water with me. They wrestled out 12 big old stones, a memorial to be. Well, one by one they stacked them stones before God's people's eyes, just to be a landmark on the shore after all of them died. After all of them died. Back again this week, and what a week it's been. There's been so much going on in the news, and obviously we're into another new year. This is 2014. Hey, isn't it amazing? We weren't supposed to make it past 2012. I guess those Mayans were a little bit off on their calendar, or somebody was drunk, or they were smoking too much peyote or something. I don't know what happened. But anyway, these guys, they were wrong on their dates, and obviously it's 2014. And the Lord has given us another day. Amen. He's spared us another year here, so far anyway. And we just thank the Lord for all that He's done for us this last year in 2013. What an amazing year it was. I got to meet Pastor Brandon in 2013 and Brother Lonnie and the good people of Faith Baptist Church that actually produced this show and all that went into that. And Had a good time doing that and became real close friends with all of them, and continue to pray for Pastor Brandon and Faith Baptist Church and Brother Lonnie and all the work that they do on this show. We're just thankful for that, and thankful for the other hosts that have come in and helped out too as well. Brother Tino with his creation evangelism and his ministry, and the fact that he's come in and been a blessing and been a co-host on this show and hosted it one time as well. And last couple of weeks we've had quite a few callers and quite a few hosts come in and talking about street preaching. And Brother Finney hosted with us here last week and co-hosted, and that was a blessing to hear from Brother Finney. And Brother Finney's very active in helping churches and a very exciting ministry. You know, the Lord has really blessed Brother Finney and me as well, as he joined Old Paths Baptist Church here and just the work that he's done. We're having churches contact us, it seems like, weekly now, you know, and for help in trying to get their churches organized right according to biblical principle and out of the 501c3. And you know, that's so important. If you'd like to go back and listen to that show, we've done a few on it, but we've done shows on the 501c3 and why churches shouldn't be 501c3s. And, you know, it's a good thing for you to study if you're a pastor or you're a member of a church, just to try to help your pastor with that. And listen, don't shove it in his face and be rude or anything like that. Be Christian-like and be godly and do it in the right spirit. And if you want to show the truth to him, do it right. You know, don't do it in a spirit of haughtiness, because the Lord won't bless that. You got to do it with a spirit of meekness. And you have to have patience. You don't get tangled up in one day, and you don't get out in one day. It takes some patience to kind of train people, teach people, and help them through some things. So just remember those things with that issue. I find that some people are very impatient when it comes to that, and they can actually hurt the cause more than they help it when they want to do right, but they can be impatient when they go about it. So listen to the advice. I've dealt with pastors before. Pastors are interesting people. I'm a pastor, so I understand that. And sometimes, because it's easy to get that way when you're always being attacked. And when you stand up for the truth, you're going to always be attacked. And, you know, pastors become, you know, they become war wounded sometimes and war weary. And you got to pray for them and help them. And don't just jump ship, you know, when you think something's not going to go your way or something like that. That's not what God wants us to do. All right, our call-in number here tonight is 646-915-9266. If you want to join the program, if you want to weigh in on something or talk about something that's going on in our world here today or anything like that, I don't have a problem with talking about any of those things, or are you calling in and asking about them. Brother Lonnie knows this is our favorite time here. Brother Lonnie, what time is it, Brother Lonnie?
Wake up!
That's right. It's time to wake up. And we have this segment here every week and try to go through the news and try to share some things with you and have you wake up and understand what's really going on in this world. That there's only, remember, there's only two spirits in this world when it comes to these things. There's the spirit of Antichrist. There's the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And then in 1 Peter, there's the spirit that leadeth those of the children of obedience. And the Bible talks about that. I preached on that last night. Gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. If Brother Lonnie goes to our YouTube page, he can pull that up and he can link that sermon on there. Gird up the loins of your mind. And you can see it on there and watch it on YouTube. I haven't put that on sermon audio yet, but I will get to that sometime in the days to come here and get that onto sermon audio. But it's a good admonition. It's a good exhortation for you and for all of us in the new year to gird up the loins of our mind and be sober. And, you know, that be sober covers more than just not drinking. By the way, God doesn't want you being a filthy drunk and doesn't want you drinking liquor and getting yourself all hammered. And God hates that. And I don't care what preachers say on Facebook and other things that say that, a little bit of wine won't hurt you, a little bit of liquor won't hurt you, a little bit of booze won't hurt you. Yeah, tell that to the drunks that are out there that are killing people. Tell that to my grandmother who got killed by a drunk driver. Tell that to all the others out there. Tell that to God when he says wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. My goodness, I'm telling you what, you got to be stuck on stupid to believe that. You really do. I'm sorry, but God doesn't want you drinking and doing those other things. God doesn't want you doing that. And we need to understand that and be mindful of that in our lives. And make sure that we obey the scriptures when it comes to that, not just the common thread that's going on here today of this looseness in society, this looseness in the church. This looseness that's going on in our world today, in our churches today, where it says, hey, it's okay, just do whatever, you know, it's okay, God doesn't care. No, God does care. Amen? God cares a lot. God cares about what you do. God cares about where you go. God cares about the clothes that you wear. God cares about the places you go, the things you do, the things your hands touch. God cares. He cares. Amen? And Brother Lonnie's got that link up there. For that sermon on YouTube that I just mentioned on gird up the loins of your mind and be ready, you know, be sober. Brother Lonnie's got that there. And by the way, Brother Tino's giving me a hard time there. He's texting me because him and I have been talking about this drinking with folks, and he just texted me and said, yeah, just a little wine with my dinner. Just a little bit, and he's joking, obviously, because that's what we've been hearing all week, we've been standing on what's right for a while here, Brother Tino and I, as far as this, contending against this drinking and everything, this booze that's going on and boozing that's going on here, you'd be surprised that there's actually a debate on this from people that. Man, I'll tell you what, I've been surprised and shocked at some of the people some of the things that have been going on here today in our world. It's just shocking. Brother Tino could tell you too if he called and he talked about it. He's like, "What are you serious? I mean, we're really having this discussion today. We're really debating this. We're going to debate whether the Word of God is the Word of God. We're going to debate whether God wants us to be drinking and boozing and everything else. We really got to think about this. I mean, man, I'll tell you, when I got saved, you didn't have to explain that to me, friend. You didn't have to tell me, hey, you shouldn't be drinking. What do you mean I should? Well, of course I shouldn't be drinking. You didn't tell me that. I knew I was a filthy, rotten sinner, and I should be staying away from it. I shouldn't get myself all mixed up with things that are going to cause me to sin or lead other people to sin and anything else like that. I ought to stay away from it, stay from all appearance of evil. I had somebody say something to me. I know I'm supposed to be talking about events here, but I'll tell you what, this is something I think we need to talk about. I had some, well, you know, that's for the weaker brethren. You know, they said the weaker brethren can't drink. Oh, my goodness. Take heed lest you fall, my friend. Are you that blind? Are you that foolish to believe that you're the stronger one? Boy, I'll tell you, I don't know two people that say, well, I'm the stronger one and you're the weaker one. You're just asking for a fall, brother. You better realize that the devil gets you anywhere he can, brother. I'm scared to death of the of temptation and the flesh and everything else, and I pray to God that he guard my flesh and he protect me from that. Don't stand around saying, hey, I'm fine. I don't have to worry about anything. Well, you better take heed, friend, lest you fall. I've got a sermon on Sermon Audio, a two-part sermon series that covers that. Take heed, lest you fall. And, boy, I'll tell you what, you better take heed, friend. Don't think you're stronger than that. Don't think you can that you can withstand temptation. Don't put yourself in positions to sin like that and think that you can withstand it. Why do you think the Bible says wine is a mocker? It says that because, you know, it mocks you. Oh, one won't hurt. Oh, two won't hurt. Oh, I won't be drunk off of one or two. You know, by the time you drink that one, your discerning capabilities are already gone. I mean, they're already weakened, I should say. They're already weakened. You know, I think a lot. So Lot, you know, his daughters gave him wine to drink, right? And he ended up fornicating with his daughters. I want you to think about something for a minute now. Do you think Lot, after he had that one, he could discern that they were getting him drunk? After he had just that one drink and all of a sudden they made his father drunk? Well, how'd they do that? Well, you give a guy one glass of wine and his control and his discerning capabilities, he's loosening up. He's getting softer. He's loosening up, and he's not thinking as straight as he should, and his perception and everything else is changing, and you know that's happening, and for somebody to say that that's not and that doesn't affect them, my goodness, what turnip truck did you fall off of, friend? You know, it's ridiculous. Lot probably thought the same thing. He vexed his righteous soul from day to day. The Bible says Lot was a saved man. Or a safe man, whichever way you want to look at it. At that time, they had to wait for Christ, amen, to lead captivity captive and give gifts to men. But the understanding of it is this, is that Lot was a righteous man, the Bible says, but one drink. How about Noah? Noah planted a vineyard and began to be a husbandman. I'm telling you, folks, it's not that hard. It's easy to understand. But the lines are being drawn. The lines are being blurred today. That's what's really going on. That's what's happening. And you wonder why. Some people wonder, why does Pastor Cooley? Why is he so strong on this? Why does he have to stand so strong on this and so firm on this? And Brother Tino and other men, these other Brother Brandon and these other men say, no, we ain't playing with that stuff. No, can't play around with that because we've seen the destruction of it. See, we've seen it. We know what happens when you drop your sin. See, I got saved out of a life of hell. I ain't going back there by the grace of God. I don't plan on going back that way. Anyway, food for thought. Think about that. I think I'm going to do a show here in the future on drunkenness. I think we're going to talk about that, drunkenness and wine, and maybe Brother Tino can come on with me. We can talk about some of those things and have a show about that in the future here. That'd be a good idea. And, you know, I don't think we've covered that quite yet. I mean, obviously we've covered sermons. And by the way, you can follow the sermon. Our sermon audio page is up there. Brother Lonnie and his precious wife is helping him tonight too. And they're working together tonight there. But you can go to our sermon audio page and you can see that and you can click on drunkenness and go do a search there. And the link is on the Faith Baptist Church Facebook page. Like that page and friend that page and get on there. There's a lot of great resources that are on that page. But you can go there and you can see some of the things. And Brother Tino already said, hey, yeah, I'd like to come on and do that show too. So we'll do that maybe possibly in the next couple weeks here. We'll figure out when we can do that. But I'd love to do that and get that out there. Get it on record on another spot where we stand on these things, and especially drunkenness and all this other stuff. Boy, it's caused so much misery in this life. So much turmoil. So many led so many men to hell. And for God's people to think they can play around with it is just absolutely scary. Absolutely scary. You know, it's funny because over the last probably 6 months, Brother Tino and I, we've talked, and when I came out against Hollywood and preached those sermons on Hollywood, he was like, you know, I'm just so shocked that these good brethren of ours, that some of these good brothers and sisters in Christ, that they're having such a problem. He said, I would have told you something. I wouldn't have, 5 years ago, I wouldn't have thought it. You wouldn't have convinced me in the world that some of these brethren would have said some of the things that I've seen them say to you. It doesn't even seem possible. And you know what? I caught us, him and I both said the same thing about this drunkenness thing. Pastor Brandon, the same thing. We said the same thing about these Hollywood and these drunkenness things and all these things. We said, you know, you got to be kidding me. This is something that we're really debating. And obviously God's got his finger on this and wants us to preach on this because it causes such a stir. You know, it causes such a stir among people. And, you know, it's something. But anyway, so what's going on in the news today? What do we got going on in our world today? Well, Obamacare is officially really on the books here and getting started here. And it's already chaos. It's already a problem. It's already got big, big, big problems. We knew that last year. But my goodness, as we look through it here and as people start to talk about it, not good. I mean, people are being turned away. People are leaving the hospital. I read something today that they're just walking out of the hospital because of the confusion that's going on here. Folks, it's just the beginning. Pressure needs to be laid on these people. Good Dr. Ron Paul there today stated, he said, you know, it needs to be repealed, but it probably won't be in its entirety because he knows it. He knows how the system works. Listen, friend, he stood for what was right for years. The man stood for what was right for years there, and he knows what he's dealing with. He knows he's in a pit of snakes and vipers is what he's in the pit of. He knows they're a bunch of stinking, rotten sociopaths is what they are. And I know I don't make a lot of friends when I say the truth, but those that are lost and dying in their sins, most of them are led by what we're going to talk about tonight, that spirit of Antichrist. That's what most of them are led by out there. Most of those politicians, man, they will say, I don't care. I'm beginning to think, and somebody might say, well, why haven't you thought that yet already? I'm beginning to honestly believe that what we have, the Republicans are worse than the Democrats. Because the Democrats, you know what you're dealing with. I mean, the Democrats, you know, face value, they look at you, they say, we're going to steal your money, we're not going to work for it. We're going to take your money that you work for, and we're going to tax you as hard as we can. And we're going to do it with a smile on our face and say we're doing it for your own good. We're going to spy on you. But the Republicans, they just say, hey, we're not going to do it. And they do it anyway. And they do it worse. They take the NSA program to a new level, man. I mean, they're the ones that started. Then Obama, he just doubles down. He says, man, this is too easy, Bush. Thanks. Why? Because they're all the same spirit, that's why. You are dealing with the exact same spirit. It's called the spirit of Antichrist. That's what it is. And it's prevalent, it's alive, it's booming, and we're going to talk about that in our segment when we get that started later. But anyway, that's what's going on here. Then you got Bloomberg, the greatest billionaire communist that ever walked the face of the earth. And when I say greatest, I mean the richest billionaire communist in America there, social fascist, wicked man, leaves office guarded by men with guns and wants to take your guns away. Did everything in his power to take your guns away. Isn't that something? I don't know how anybody could really live in New York. I couldn't do it. I couldn't live there. I couldn't. Unless God made me, that's the only way I could live there. If God made me live in New York, then I'd live there. But if he didn't make me live there, I sure wouldn't live there. Because I can think of nothing, including that Statue of Liberty, that stinking wicked goddess that's sitting out there that rules over it. I can think of nothing that would do anybody any good to live in New York City there. It's unbelievable. But anyway, he's out and the new mayor's in there, and isn't that something? He's probably going to do the same wicked thing the other mayor did, but who knows? I mean, that guy, he tried to rob everybody, and he did. And Bloomberg made laws against Slurpees, and you know, I mean, you got to be a really bored guy with lots of money to make a law against the size of a Slurpee or a Big Gulp that somebody drinks. You know, I find it very, very, very disingenuous for me, for a woman to be able to go out and have an abortion, but a guy can't have an extra large Slurpee. Is that not the strangest thing you've ever heard in your life? I mean, it really shows you how bad our priorities are in America, where life means nothing, but a Slurpee size is something we have to legislate. But you know what? We'll let you kill your baby. We'll let you kill your baby. But, you know, you can't have anything else. You can't have a Slurpee. That's going too far. That's going way too far. Weird times we live in. Just satanic, wicked, perilous times the Bible talks about. It's where we're living at right now. That's where we're at. How about this for irony of it all here? Global warming, huh? Yeah, I don't think that's working out for them too well. Blizzards to reach from New York City to Boston. You know, is it not crazy? You know, it's just crazy. Absolutely crazy. The weather. Winnipeg, deep freeze, cold as an uninhabited planet. How's that for rich? Huh? How's that for rich? Think of that. You know who got rich, though? Speaking of rich, Al Gore. He got loaded rich. He got fat rich off of that. You know, all these guys put all their money into trusts, so you never know how much money they really have, but they put their money into trusts. And when they do that, they put them in a trust. They can make all these millions and hundreds of millions and billions of dollars, and they never get taxed. It never gets stolen from them. They just get to keep it. And it doesn't get touched. So Al Gore's making millions and millions and millions of dollars off a lie. He lied. We weren't supposed to have any ice left. All the pillars were going to, there's no ice left. We're all in trouble. Everything's destroyed. Well, it didn't happen. We still got ice. In fact, we got more ice. We got so much ice, it's so cold out there, it's like an uninhabited planet. How's that, huh? How's that? 98% of network stories ignore that ice-bound ship was on global warming mission. Yeah, I heard there was an ice-bound ship. Went out there on a global warming mission, but froze out there because of the ice. So I heard they sent another ship out there to get it, and they still couldn't get it. That one got stuck. Boy, God sure has the way of stopping the mouths of fools, doesn't he? You know, they're worried about global warming. Well, you know, there is going to be some global warming one day. God's going to melt the earth with fervent heat. Yeah. It is going to happen someday, but it's not going to happen because of peons like you and I, or peons that think that they could destroy God's earth. How haughty is man anyway? How absolutely haughty is it for us to believe that we can destroy the earth, that we will do it, that we in our own power. It's just like Satan. That's what it is. It's the same thing as Satan. That the five things that he said, he would ascend up to he would mount the sides of the north, sit in the congregation of the sides of the north. He would be like the Most High. He would exalt his throne above the stars of God. Same thing. That's what man thinks. Man thinks that he can, you know, man thinks that he has more of a say in this earth than God does, and sadly, he's going to find out he's wrong. I wouldn't want to be a part of the global warming that they're going to be a part of. Amen? I wouldn't want to be a part of that. But it's coming. You know, it's really strange. But PETA is sending out women clad in lettuce bikinis in sub-zero temperatures to urge veganism. Now you tell me that ain't the strangest thing in all the world for ladies to be running around in lettuce. They're a bunch of sick people. They're a bunch of sick, perverted people. PETA, that you know, that organization against eating tasty animals. It's unfortunate. You know, they don't like to eat meat. The Bible talks about those that have, that abstain from eating meat and preach that you have to abstain from eating meat. Sick folks. Sick people out there. They don't care whether they pervert your child or anything else like that. What they do care about is whether you eat meat or not, because they get paid a lot of money. But sadly, that's where we're at today in our world. And weird. Hey, I'll tell you another one that gives you the apathy of the times that we live in. Customers casually step over a dead man's body, and a dead person's body, in a store doorway after he's shot. Folks in their own little world. Listen, this is in Michigan. Kalamazoo convenience store. At a Kalamazoo convenience store, customers walk over a dead body after a Michigan man is killed in a store doorway. They just walk over the body like it's not even there. This is where we're at, folks. Honestly, this is where we're at. People don't even notice the fact that somebody's dead in front of them. You know, I've heard video and seen video of rumors, or I mean a video out there of people that, I've seen the videos of attacks at subways and places like that in New York City and other places. I've seen that where people will sit there and watch while somebody is getting killed. While they're getting just beat to death, they're just watching it. Folks, this is that apathy. This is that spirit of Antichrist. This is sad. This is where we're at today. People are so dumbed down, and they're so in their own world, they don't even notice what's going on around them. They don't notice it. Sad. Sad world we're living in today. Now, we can look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. Amen. We understand what that we're saved, and those that are born again by the Spirit of God, that is, that have come in faith and believed the gospel of Jesus Christ and trusted on Him by faith, repented, and turned to Him, they're saved. And they're looking forward to the future. Sad times we live in, though, when we see this. But you know what? I take heart in that because I know that God foretold of all these things. He told us what was going to happen. He told us that all these things at this time would be. The Apostle Paul talked about these times. He said that that these times would come, these perilous times would come, and that men would be lovers of their own selves. They'd be proud, boasters, blasphemous, murderers. You know, he said that. He said that that's what would come in these times, and that's what we're looking at. That's what we're facing right now. Well, anyway, we'll continue on with some of the stories in the news here when we come back. We're about to have a break here, and we're going to go to a song by the Marksman Quartet, and it's called Matthew 24. We'll be right back in just a few minutes.
one, be free from sin, and take heed no man shall ever you deceive. We are living, surely living in the days he speaks about. All these things we know are happening every day. Let's be ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout, for he tells us in his word to watch and pray.
All right, we are back, Matthew chapter 24 there. Boy, is that ever true. We're to watch, and again I say watch, and look ahead, look up, amen, for your redemption draweth nigh. Understand what's going on in this world and what we're facing today and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, listen, in the news here as we continue this segment here, the wake-up, I want to mention something, though, here. One of my Facebook friends, his name is Brother Brian here, and Brian Moonen. Brother Brian Moonen took my sermon, Hollywood Satanic Roots, and he put it to a video, and he posted it on YouTube. He asked if he could do that. I said, sure, that'd be great. So he did that, and he posted it, and he put it on YouTube for folks to watch. And getting some good hits on that, and praise the Lord for that. But it puts a little bit of visual aspect to the sermon there, which is kind of neat. And I appreciate that. I'm very thankful for him doing that. It just gets that truth out there, another avenue. Now, he's working on another one right now for my Man of Steel, Man of Sin sermon that I preached. So he's putting that together now. As we speak, and so you can watch it. That's posted on Faith Baptist Church's a Facebook page, the Hollywood Satanic Roots to video. That's on there right now. Give that a watch, and watch that with mom and dad. Watch that and take a look at that and see the truths that are going on there in that. If you've never seen that before, I'll tell you what, Hollywood Satanic Roots Part 1 and 2 will definitely change your perspective on Hollywood. It'll make a difference, and you'll not want to have much to do with Hollywood after that. So maybe you might get mad at me, or maybe you'll just repent and get right with God like I had to do, and get rid of it, and quit watching it, because it does you no good. Anyway, so take a look at that. That'll be an exciting thing for you to watch and something to learn. Now, part two is not on there. You can find that on our sermon audio page. It's linked at Faith Baptist Facebook page too as well. Now, moving right along here, more lies by the President Obama, not a surprise. Shouldn't be anyway. But his brother said he's lying, that he really did meet him and other things like that, but whatever. He's a politician, so 99.9% of the time they're lying, and you can depend on that probably. You can depend on that, that they're going to lie to you. It says here that a deadly swine virus sweeps the U.S. It looks like pork prices are going to be set to surge. If we're going to get a rise in pork prices, well, I hope not, Brother Tino. We're not going to be able to roast any pigs or any hogs over here in the good old Midwest. Here we like roasting those hogs. I don't know if Brother Tino does, but I'll give him a hard time. I know I've got some brethren that don't eat pork at all, and But you send it my way, I'll eat it, I'll roast it and eat it, and that'd be just fine with me. Amen. Minnesota Hogs and Iowa Hogs, and we got our hogs around here. I don't know if Wisconsin has any hogs. I know they got a lot of cheese over there, but I don't know if they have any hogs over there in Wisconsin. But anyway, it's been cold here. We've had such cold weather here across the Midwest, and man, I'll tell you, Monday is supposed to be negative 19 degrees here, and that's not with the wind chill from what I understand. So we'll see. Oh, my. Going to be a cold time, and just pray everybody stays safe and warm in this weather that we're having right now. And we didn't really get a warm spell at all. We didn't really get much of a fall. I mean, it got cold pretty much right away around here, and it stayed cold for a long time. And December was like January or February's freeze, and we had that in December. It wasn't very nice. But we thank the Lord anyway that we're all safe and everything. But it was not pleasant weather out there. We didn't get much of the 30 and 40s. We got more of the below zero weather, and it stayed in the deep freeze for a while. And we're heading back tomorrow. It's supposed to be warm, though. It's supposed to be 19 degrees tomorrow here. And then it's supposed to drop back down on Sunday, and Monday it's supposed to be negative 20. So, boy, I just pray I pray that moves over. That might not happen here, but we'll see how that goes down here. Just some other things in the news. Wow, you know, amazing what's going on here. Police say the man stole brains and sold them on eBay. Boy, isn't that something. These are these perilous times we're living in. Stole somebody's brains, and they weren't his own, obviously, and he sold them on eBay. Sold somebody's brains on eBay. Boy, I'll tell you what, I know you could sell a lot of stuff on eBay, but I don't think you could sell brains on eBay. That's pretty scary stuff. But, again, these are the times that we live in. These are the times that we're facing here. And they are perilous, wicked times. And it's sad to see. But, you know, all this controversy with Duck Dynasty and everything like that. Now, I personally believe that everything that went on with that, I have a sermon that you can find. It's a warning against Duck Dynasty as far as some of their doctrinal beliefs and everything like that. Of course, the man had the right to get up and say what he wanted to about homosexuality and everything. But don't be fooled by these Hollywood Christians. They're going to make their money, and they're going to make more. What they did, A&E, I don't think A&E had any intention of firing them permanently. I think it was a ratings boost, and now more Christians are watching it, and more Christians are going to support Duck Dynasty and the Duck Commander and all that kind of stuff, and they're going to make even more millions of dollars on merchandise and everything else. And, you know, they're not suffering for Jesus, folks. I mean, it's just they're not. They're getting really rich, and they have a baptismal regeneration doctrine. But, you know, I cannot tell you how much hate mail I've got from speaking out about that. I can't even explain to you how vitriol, hateful, and angry people have been over Duck Dynasty and how mad they were at me for talking. And I said, even in the sermon, I said, and you can find that Duck Dynasty sermon, by the way, online on our YouTube page. You can find, or you can find on sermon audio that's linked. You can go through there, and it's called The Dangers of Duck Dynasty. But I'll tell you what, I've never had people so absolutely angry in my life. And, you know, it was kind of like when I did the Hollywood sermons that I had people tell me, well, you just want to take all our fun away. Well, what are we supposed to do for fun now? What are we supposed to do with our lives if we don't watch TV? What do you expect Christians to do if they don't watch television, they don't watch movies and everything else? Go live your life. That's what God expects. My goodness, really? What am I going to do with my life? Hey, go be a member of get saved. If you're saved, get right with God and join a local New Testament church. Be baptized scripturally and get in there and serve the Lord and go help others and preach the gospel. Come out on the streets if you're a man, or if you're a woman, hand out tracts and come out on the streets and preach the gospel with us. That's what you can do with your life. Take your children out to preach the word of God and show them what a Christian does. Live your life for Jesus Christ. Support churches that are being started for the glory of God all over the world. My goodness. Oh, God wants you to spend your day sitting on television. Man. Brother Tino says he's having pork chops right now. He just Facebook messaged me there saying, "Hey, I'm having pork chops right now." So he's a pork man too. So he's on our team when we want to roast that pig someday. Praise the Lord. But anyway, just amazing. Just think about that. Like I said in the sermon, though, I don't think the duck guys are bad guys. I really don't. I don't think they're bad guys. I think they're wrong doctrinally. I think they're going to die and go to hell if they trust baptism to save them. They're trusting water baptism to save, which, by the way, I read the doctrine of their church and watched their videos and read their literature, and that's what their church holds to is baptismal regeneration. It's in their pamphlets, and it's in just about everything. Their focus is baptism, 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 and anyway, that's the way it goes. So anyway, but that duck dynasty is just going to do nothing but make them, all this flap that they went through, they're just going to make more money off of it. And, you know, let me ask you a question. People say, well, I'm not going to support A&E Network now because they did this. Well, now I'll watch the show again because they're not doing it anymore. What business is a Christian doing to support A&E anyway? I want you to do something. I want you to go online. I want you to click on A&E, and I want you to go look at the shows that are on there. Look at the shows that are on A&E. And you tell me if you and I ought to be supporting cable network and all that other stuff anyway. Should we be supporting that? Should that be something that we do? You say, well, you have internet. Yeah, you're right. I do have internet. I do. But I'm not actively supporting a network like that. I'm not actively supporting it. I'm not watching their commercials. How about this? The Rodeo Girls. Now, don't post that link because right when you hit A&E, there's a woman on there, and you got to click off of it real fast. This woman is not dressed right. She's dressed in a bikini, and she's riding a horse and supposed to be, a rodeo girl, I guess. So, you know, not something that you and I, anyway, but... The network supports homosexuality anyway. So, I mean, I know we're not responsible for what people do. I mean, you know, we're responsible for what we buy, and that's what I'm saying. I understand that. If I was supporting something that was wrong, then I'm responsible for it. But, you know, directly for what I do with my dollars, I can't help what somebody else does with theirs. But, listen, I don't want to – you know, television and Hollywood and all that stuff, we don't need to support any of that garbage. As Christians, as born-again believers – we don't need to get ourselves messed up with any of that stuff. We need to stay away from it and be righteous and holy in what we do and be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. You know, that's what you and I ought to have a desire to do anyway. That's what God's called us to do, is to be holy. Boy, that means something to God. You know, it really does, friend. It means something to God that you and I live a holy, righteous life for Him. It does mean something to Him. In fact, He wants us to. God wants us to live that righteous life for Him. You think about that. You remember that. You know, because that's exactly what God wants for you and I to live. A pure, holy, righteous life for Jesus Christ in this wicked world. You know, in that sermon that I preached on Gird Up the Loins of Your Mind, last night that I preached on that, I cover that people have this shallow understanding of salvation, what they believe it is. Now, you don't have to understand everything to get saved. I mean, you got to know you're a lost, wicked sinner. You've grievously sinned. You got to turn to Christ, and you got to repent of that sin. There's sorrow in the heart, and you've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. But then after you get saved, there's an understanding that comes there. You're not just saved. Your eternal destiny is not all that changes. Otherwise, God didn't need to give us a Bible then. Because if all that we're doing is just living the same old life after we got saved, and that's all that it's all about, He wouldn't have written the whole Bible for us and given us instructions of how to live. Because salvation is more than just an eternal destiny change. That's only a third of it. There's a whole lot more to it than that. And you need to understand that anyway. So look that up. But anyway, let's talk about the spirit of Antichrist here. We'll get started here. And I know we'll take a break here in probably 15 minutes or so, sometime around there. But let's talk about the spirit of Antichrist. I want to open this up here and just lay down the kind of the foundation of the teaching here. Read some Bible verses and lay some of those things down and give you an understanding of that. What I meant by this when I preached on the spirit of Antichrist. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist." See this? "And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Wow, isn't that something? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The apostle John here, the beloved apostle here, John, the one whom Jesus loved, he's writing here and he's giving some instructions and he's talking about the spirit of Antichrist. He says something that is very clear here. Well, what he says here that spirit is already at work. Now, those words are interesting. He says here, "And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, wherever you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." Already in the world. Spirit of Antichrist is already here. So the Antichrist is not here. He is not here right now. I mean, that we know of anyway. That we know of. He's not manifested himself now. But his spirit is already in the world. His spirit is already working in the world today. Well, what is that spirit? What is it? Well, first of all, the Apostle John talked extensively about the Antichrist. He was the one that really talked about him quite a bit. The spirit of Antichrist is that spirit that has gone out. Now, that spirit is not the man of sin, but it is the spirit that backs that man of sin. It is the spirit that will come into that Antichrist, and it will be him. It will be a part of him. Our verse says to try the spirits. You know, that's not being done today. Why do you think God put that in his word? For you and I to try the spirits of God, or the spirits that are out there. We're to try the spirits. Paul called that spirit of Antichrist the mystery of iniquity. Thessalonians, in Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 7, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." He talks about that. He says that spirit is already at work. That mystery of iniquity, it's already working today. Same thing John says. In Ephesians 2:2, he says, "Wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's the spirit that's working today. That's the spirit of Antichrist. That's that spirit that has gone out into the world. That's the spirit that's being discussed in our text verse here in 1 John chapter 4. The Apostle Paul is talking about it. Has talked about it here in a few different places in his epistles. He said, "You heard it would come, and it's already in the world. That spirit of Antichrist was alive and well and working in the Apostle Paul's time, in John's time. It's the spirit of Satan. It's that spirit of his son, that evil trinity, that not the Godhead that we have, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, but that evil trinity. This is that unholy, that vile, that lying spirit that should come over the whole world. 1 John 5:19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. You see that contrast there? You see the contrast? And we know that we're of God. We, the saved, we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Wow. How powerful is that? The whole world lieth in wickedness. That's where we're at. Why? Spirit of Antichrist. Spirit of Antichrist is already at work. Already at work. Only he who now letteth will let till he be taken out of the way. But that spirit is already at work today. The thing that we miss is that the spirit of Antichrist, it's alive and well today. That's what we don't understand, really. We understand the Antichrist is going to come, but I don't think we really understand that his spirit is at work. And that's really what we're going to focus on for the next hour. We're gonna kind of break apart the work of the Antichrist through his spirit. We're gonna work on that. We're gonna look at that, and we're gonna see exactly what takes place. We're gonna see that. We're gonna see what the spirit is now doing. We're gonna even look at some of these other things and break down this verse when it talks about, hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist, wherever you have heard that it should come. You might say, well, you know, we're looking at the JWs and the Mormons and the Catholics and say, well, do they preach that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh? Don't answer too quickly. You might say, well, yeah, I've heard him say that. I've heard him talk about Jesus. Well, we'll look at that. We'll look at that and see what they're actually saying. We'll kind of break that apart and take a look and see are they really saying that? Are they really saying that? Are they really saying that they believe Christ has come? Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit. We're going to take a look at it and see if that's exactly what they're doing, or if they're doing something different. If they got a different goal in mind. You know, if they got a different game plan, so to speak, than that which is in the scriptures. What is that spirit of Antichrist up to? What is he doing today? What is his work today? That's really what we're going to concentrate on. Because we know that the devil, he's the master of mimic. He cannot create anything himself. So he's got to pervert. He's got to mimic. He's got to misrepresent. He's got to confuse. He's got to lie. He's got to deceive what God has already done. He has to do that. And that's what he does. That's what we're going to see here tonight. We're going to look at that. We're going to look at that work that he does, that deceiving nature. You know, he can't create. He can only pervert. The spirit of Antichrist perverts Christ. In the scriptures, he perverts who Christ really is. That's really what we're going to look at. That doctrine here. We see the JWs, they are the spirit of Antichrist, the Jehovah's Witnesses. They are that spirit of Antichrist. The Mormons are that spirit of Antichrist. They look at that, and what do? They pervert it. Their job is to pervert who Christ really is. The JWs say that Christ came, yeah, but he's just a good teacher. He's not God. If you believe not that I am he, you shall all likewise perish. The JWs don't believe that Jesus Christ is God. Therefore, they do not believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. They believe in another Jesus. They don't believe in the Jesus Christ of the Bible. You've got to understand that. There is that other Christ, that other Jesus, that one that comes in his own name, and there's Jesus Christ of the Bible. The JWs, they're the spirit of Antichrist. I had some JWs knock on my door one time. And they were knocking the neighborhood, and they got very angry at Pastor Cooley. Because they were women, of course. There weren't any men with them. I don't know why they always bring women. And they said they wanted to come back and do a Bible study with me, a couple of women. And I'm like, you know, first of all, don't take this the wrong way, but if anybody's doing a Bible study and there's going to be women, I'm going to be with my wife, and I'm going to be the one leading it. There you go. I'm not going to be led around by a bunch of women. Amen! Amen. Isn't that good preaching right there? I'll amen myself. That's real good preaching. But I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to have some woman sit around and teach me the Bible. I'm not going to do it. And then the other thing is that I asked them could you just answer one question for me? Sure, they said. I said, well, you don't believe that Jesus Christ is God. No, he's the Son of God. Well, I've got a verse for you then. I've got some verses for you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And I said, can you answer that? And they said, no. I don't think I can answer that. Well, I said, if you can't answer that, then you're going to die and go to hell then. And you're preaching a false gospel, and you're not preaching the truth of the Bible. Because Jesus Christ is Lord. He is God. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. God. The Word was made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I said, and I kept saying that over and over again, well, could you answer that? Can you answer that? I and the Father are one. Can you answer these? No, I can't answer that. I said, well, lady, you're going to die and go to hell. And she said, well, maybe that's going to happen to you. Wait a minute, you're JWs. You don't believe there's a hell. What are you talking about? Maybe it's going to happen to me. I said, no, lady, I've been born again by the Spirit of Almighty God. He saved me and washed me in his own blood, and Jesus Christ forgave my sins and cleansed me of unrighteousness by the blood of Christ. I can't go to hell. I've been born again. I've been made a child of the King, adopted into the family of God. Hallelujah. And she was leaving, and they left. You know what they did? They left the whole neighborhood. They started, I was preaching. I was out there just basically preaching. I was out there reading that verse out there, and I was reading it to the top of my lungs as they were walking through the neighborhood. I chased that whole group clean out of the neighborhood, man. They all left. They got in their cars. All of them did and took off. Couldn't one of them answer any of it. Amen. That's how the Word of God shuts down the fools and shuts down the unrighteous and the wicked. I wasn't going to let them peddle that wicked stuff on my street corner. And you sure ain't going to knock on my door, friend, and in front of my children, in front of my wife, tell me that Jesus Christ isn't God. I ain't going to let you get away with that. I'm gonna stand up and I'm gonna boldly preach the truth. Hey, listen, we got a break coming up here. We've got the Marksman Quartet here last Saturday night. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Let him go free. He's not the man that he saved in the jail last Saturday
about the spirit of Antichrist and its work in this world and just exactly what's going on. And, you know, it's interesting that people don't really understand exactly what that spirit of Antichrist does. So we're going to break that down here. And we were when we left for break, I was talking about the JWs and how I had upset the JWs. And, you know, I had upset I'd kicked them out of the neighborhood. Amen. They just took off and they didn't come back. Amen. But you know, they probably came back after I got out of there, and they probably came back after that. But they didn't come back again while I was there, and I praise the Lord for that. And the fact that, you know, we were able to stand for the Word of God and teach them the truth. The Mormons are the same way. I mean, they don't believe that Jesus is God that way either. They don't believe that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords Supreme. They believe some weird things about Jesus, and they believe in celestial underwear and all kinds of stuff. So they are of that spirit of Antichrist. They are of that, and I remember a story. I'll quickly tell you this story here. I remember a story about my dad was in California and he was visiting my brother, and it was interesting because while he was in California, he had talked with a Mormon that knocked on the door and an elder, and they had an elder and a younger. I don't know if that's what they call them, but that's funny. They had an elder and a younger. But they had an elder, and then they had one of their, I don't know what they call them guys, one of them kids that ride the bicycle, I guess. I don't know what they are. But some of them kids are elders, and they look like they're about 12. I don't know. But they look like they're about my son's 8, but they don't look much older than him, some of those kids on bicycles. But anyway, so they knock on the door, and they couldn't answer any of those questions either. I started giving them straight Bible. And that elder and my dad said, hey, let you talk to my son. So my dad put me on the phone, and I just began to preach to this kid. Well, I preached to him. And then the elder finally answered the phone and got on the phone. He said, hey, you talk to my son, my dad said. So he got on the phone. And then he said, well, I can't do any good here. I said, no, correction, you can't do any bad here, because you ain't going to trick anybody with your lies today. We have a Bible. We have the Word of God, and I just preach to them. You use those opportunities. When they're coming to try to preach to you, you better preach to them. Friend, that's a perfect opportunity to preach the truth to them. Now, I don't bid them in my house or bid them Godspeed or anything like that, but I'll preach to them right there. I'll tell them the truth. The Romans, they have the same thing. The Roman Catholics, they deny he is the mediator. You say, but how could they be of the spirit of Antichrist? They talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Yeah, but which one? Which one? Which one are they talking about? Do you really believe that they believe that Jesus Christ is that there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus? No, they don't believe that. They believe that Mary is co-redemptress and she's co-mediator and she's part of the package. She's the mother of God. All that is Isis worship, Diana worship, Queen of Heaven worship. That's all it is. In fact, they call her Queen of Heaven. I could post pictures. I've posted pictures on my Facebook page that take care of that, that will show you that she's sitting on the Ark of the Covenant. Their version of Mary is sitting on the Ark of the Covenant. How's that for you? No, that's not the same. You know, much of this holiday season in the past was really Antichrist, without going into too much of it, but much of it was. It wasn't about Christ, about Christmas trees. It's about everything else, but Easter bunnies, Christmas trees, and about everything else, Santa Claus, about everything else but Jesus Christ and him crucified. And here's a hint for you. Jesus Christ wasn't born December 25th, just so you know. He's born sometime in September, and you can look for a sermon that I preached on that, the truth about Christmas and Christmas. Christ Mass is not about the truth. You can go to, those are on YouTube, and just take a look at those, and that might make you mad, but that's nothing new. I've made people mad before. I don't try to do it. It's the truth that'll make you mad. It's not me, hopefully, but it's what's being said that will. But understand this, the world hates Christ because it's of the spirit of Antichrist. It hates him. The world's fine with the babe in the manger. They're fine with that. Why? Well, because he is not that man that will rule over them. What does the world say? What was the world's cry? What was the Jews' cry? We will not have this man to rule over us. What was the cry of those in the vineyard? Well, God said, I'll send my son. Surely they'll reverence my son. What'd they do? They killed him. The world hates Christ. Remember that. I've got a sermon on that too, sermonaudio.com. Go to there. The world hates Christ. Listen to that. It'll give you a whole perspective on that whole issue. Anyway, but that's the spirit of Antichrist. The Antichrist seeks to erase who Christ is. Seeks to not erase, excuse me, but to pervert who Jesus Christ is. That is the goal of Antichrist. That is the goal of the spirit of Antichrist. Roman Catholicism perverts the doctrine of Christ. Mormons pervert the doctrine of Christ. JWs pervert the doctrine of Christ. Pentecostal oneness perverts the doctrine of Christ. All about perverting the doctrine of who Christ really is. What is that when something does that, spirit of Antichrist? That's what it is. It's that spirit that is out there already working. It's that spirit that John said that is already out there in the world. Now, the spirit of Antichrist speaks great words against God. Now, we understand that in Daniel chapter 7, it talks about the actual Antichrist, what he will do. But can we deny that his spirit is already doing that today? Daniel chapter 7, verse 25 says this, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. You see here, the spirit of Antichrist will naturally do what the Antichrist will do. He's already doing that prep work right now. Prep work. Prepping for the Antichrist coming. How does he speak great words against the Most High? How about this? Oh, is that King James Bible really inspired? Is it really perfect? is it really the Word of God? Isn't it outdated? Shouldn't we get a new word? Shouldn't we get a word that's more understandable? Shouldn't we get a new word? We need modernized words. We need modernized words, shouldn't we? Oh, my. Is it really bad to drink liquor? I mean, is it really bad? Is that really what God's saying? Is it really, is being a homosexual, being a sodomite, is that really a sin? Is it really wicked? Speaking great words against the Most High. God's Word says it's wicked. God's Word says these things are wrong. God's Word says His Word is true. Perfect. Given by inspiration. Then you have the papacy, that spirit of Antichrist that speaks against the Most High. He speaks for Christ, he says. He speaks ex cathedra. He is God on the earth, the Pope is, he says. And the Pope comes out and says what he says. We'll talk about that in a minute here. Because that spirit of Antichrist thinks to change times and laws. His spirit is already trying to do that now. That's the work that's being done today. That's the work that's going out there before and doing today. That's the work that's going on here. Now, he'll do it when the Antichrist comes on the scene. He'll physically, he will make all these things happen. Right now, his spirit is leading doing these things. Have you noticed today that there is no respect for the written law? No respect. There's no respect for the written law of God today. Whether it be the law of God or the law of the land, there's no respect for it. Why? Because that spirit of Antichrist wants to change times and laws. He wants to change those things. The written law doesn't matter. Just what I say matters. The Antichrist spirit rejects the written law. The Pope is the same way, led by Antichrist. He says, follow your conscience and you'll go to heaven. What has he done there? He's changed the written law. He's changed it. He's made a new law. He says, my word is more than the written word. So, you know what? Just follow your conscience. You can be an atheist and go to heaven. Just follow your conscience and you can be, you don't have to worry about it. You know what's totally, you know what's sick about all that, friend? What's really sick about that is it's not about going to heaven. It's about having your sins forgiven. And I get to go to heaven because my sins are forgiven. Hallelujah! Isn't that a blessing? When my sins are washed away, amen, then I get to go to heaven. I get to be with the Lord forever. Why? Because He forgives my sin. He forgave my sin. That's why. But atheists, though, they can now end up in heaven. Muslims can now go to heaven, according to the Pope. Oh, yeah, there'll be Muslims in heaven. Billy Graham said the same thing. Hey, you starting to see a pattern here? This thinks to change times and laws and thinks to change the written word, make it of no effect. Don't worry about that. No, it's okay. You'll still go. Joel Osteen. Well, I don't know. They asked him. Well, it's not mine to judge. Well, it's pretty sad. No, you're not. You shall judge angels. I can't even judge that, huh? Well, he won't be judging angels. He'll be burning in hell. But know you not that you'll judge angels, but you can't judge in the least of these matters, the Apostle Paul said. You know, the written law says he that believeth not is damned already. He's damned already. He's not believed in the only begotten Son of God. But the Pope says, no worry. The spirit that leads him is leading him to tell you that you'll be fine. Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. Yep. It's Satanism. It's Luciferianism. That's what it is. That's what the Pope is. He's Luciferian. Oh, yeah, I know that'll get me in trouble, but he is. He's Luciferian. That's what they believe. They don't believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. They have another Christ, another gospel. And they're led by the spirit of Antichrist. Why do you think Joel Osteen, Billy Graham, and the Pope all sound the same? Because they have the same spirit. Why do you think myself and Brother Brandon and Brother Tino and you know, all these other preachers, they all sound the same. I mean, they all have the same spirit. Because we have the Holy Ghost of God and we preach the Word of God. What are they preaching? The Word of devils? Death on their tongue? That's what they're preaching. Why? Spirit of Antichrist. That's what leads them. That's the work of the Spirit of Antichrist already at work. You know, there's also a spirit that I'd be awful afraid of today, too, that's out there. It's kind of like an antinomian spirit, I believe, that's among the churches today. And I believe it's influenced by the devil as well. And I'm not saying these folks are all lost. I'm not saying that they're not saved. I'm not saying that they don't love God. I'm saying that the devil can influence even the saved. We understand that. But there's this spirit that to discount the law, the moral law of God, as if it's of no effect and it doesn't matter anymore. Now, you can't keep the law to be saved. You can't earn salvation by keeping the law. By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. We understand that. However, what we do understand is that the moral law is still applicable for today, that you and I, after we have been born again by the Spirit of God, God expects us to keep His moral law. Now, you're not going to go to hell if you break it. Problem with somebody who says that they've been forgiven of their sins, but they don't care about God's moral law. That's another spirit. That's not the Spirit of God leading you. God's Spirit's not going to lead you to sin. That's the spirit of Antichrist that leads to sin. Now, that doesn't mean you're not saved. I'm saying it means that the devil will lead your flesh. If you walk in the flesh, then you'll lust after the flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, you'll mortify the deeds of the flesh. So the admonition to you and I is to resist that spirit of Antichrist that's out there and to walk in the Spirit. Amen? Now, there is a total disregard, though, for the moral law of God today. In many churches, I'm not speaking of just specifically Baptist churches or anything like that, but in many churches there's this disregard for the moral law of God. Ah, drinking's okay, running around's okay. Is God really worried about you getting married, or can you live in fornication? Or I had a lady tell me one time, she was telling me, you know, I posted some things, and she said, you know, she said that, well, you know, I lived with my boyfriend for 3 years in fornication. Are you saying I'm not saved? And I said, well, are you bragging about living in fornication for 3 years? She goes, I'm not going to say it's wrong or not. Well, let me be real clear with you. As the Word of God says, the Word of God is very clear. If you don't understand that sleeping with, you're born again, and by the way, raised in a fundamental home. Don't miss this. Not just some guy off the street. Raised in a fundamental Baptist home your whole life, and you're telling me that you don't know that fornication is evil, that it's wrong not to be married. You're telling me you don't know if it's wrong or right. Then I'm going to tell you, you don't have the Spirit of God in you. You're not saved. You're led by the Spirit of Antichrist. You need to repent of your sins. You need to trust Christ as your Savior and be born again by the Spirit of God. This is not someone that has never been born again. This is not someone that has never known the truth. This is somebody that was told the truth. You think about it. That's the spirit of Antichrist. That's not the spirit of Christ. It's that spirit that's already working today. It's an attack. It's a subtle attack by the devil, but it's an attack nonetheless. And it's led by that spirit of Antichrist. Then there's the politicians. Who write a law, then usurp their own law and not enforce it because it cannot be done, but the president won't sign a repeal law to erase the foolish law that he signed into law. What is that? That's the spirit of Antichrist, because he'll think to change times and laws. He doesn't care about the written law. He doesn't care. What do we have today among our people? We, among our politicians, they don't care what the written law says. They don't care what the Constitution says. They don't care about what the Bill of Rights say. They don't care. They're going to do what they want to do. And they're going to write their own laws. They're going to write executive orders. And they're going to speak their own laws. They're going to say, well, I'm going to sign a waiver for this company for Obamacare. Why? The law says that everybody has to pay it. Well, not this corporation, though. Not these people. Not this union. Not these people. Not this. Not that. They don't have to. Everybody else has to, but they don't have to. What is that? a total disregard for the written law. It's the spirit of Antichrist. They disobey the Bill of Rights and trample on the Constitution. They disobey it. They don't care about what the Bill of Rights say. The Bill of Rights, they recognize our right to keep and bear arms, our right to freedom of speech, and everything else, but they're slowly ignoring that. The incident that I talked about last week with that police officer, he was trying to squelch our freedom of speech. He was trying to say that if somebody doesn't like what you say, then you lose your right to freedom of speech. No, that's not what the written law says. But what did he say? Well, we have authority to govern in this area. We have authority. This is our park. This is our place. This belongs to the city. This belongs to us. Who's us? You got a turd in your pocket? Who's us? What is that? It's ignoring the written law. It's ignoring what the Bill of Rights recognizes as freedom of speech. It's ignoring it. We don't care about what it says. I'm the law around here. You ever heard a guy say that? You ever heard a police officer say that? Well, I'm the law around here. Sheriffs will say that sometimes. Some of these guys, well, I'm the law around here. No, no, you're not the law. I have a brother, Ickes, told a story about that. Somebody told him, well, I'm the law. No, you're not the law. You're not a book that's written of laws that are written. That's not true. You're not the law. What is that, spirit of Antichrist? What about our politicians that are up there making millions of dollars off the backs of hard-earning citizens, hard-working citizens, and then telling grandma that she's going to have her Social Security taken away? Wait a minute, the written law says she's to get that money that you stole from her by the force of a gun. Or you'll throw that person in jail for not paying their taxes. But wait a minute, you don't lose your money. You get your $200,000 a year. Your aides get their waiver for Obamacare. But we don't get a waiver for Obamacare. Well, I want the same waiver your interns got. And I'm not signing up for it. Because if you think you can just take your pen out and you can write anything you want to or waive anything you want to after the written law says something different, what is that? Spirit of Antichrist. Things to take change times and laws. But change it. That law means nothing anymore. Freedom of speech is being challenged. People are thrown in jail. A National Detention Act, a Patriot Act, all those things. They should never even been accepted, and they should not be followed or obeyed by any legislator or by any law enforcement officer. They should not be followed because they are against the founding documents of this country. What are they? Spirit of Antichrist. That's exactly what they are. They're the spirit of Antichrist. But you remember one thing, my friend. They trampled the King James Bible in America before they ever trampled the Constitution. They kicked that King James Bible out of schools. They kicked it out of everything. They kicked it out of the halls of Congress. They kicked Jesus out of the halls of Congress and said, please don't pray in Jesus' name. They kicked him out first. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that they would respect the Bill of Rights and the Constitution when they trampled on the very Word of God? When they said, we will not have this man to rule over us. Don't pray in Jesus' name. We will not have this man to rule over us. What is that, my friend? It is the spirit of Antichrist. It is the rebellion of the governments that come in. Read Psalm chapter 2. Read Psalm chapter 2, what it says. What does it say? Psalm chapter 2 says that the governments of the world are against his Christ, or against his king. They're against him. There's a conspiracy there. Somebody asked me, well, you believe in conspiracy theories? Yeah, because I see the spirit behind them. Oh, you really think that people can put all these things together and do all this stuff? And no, I think the devil can use these people and put it all together. And I know he is. Well, how do you know he is? A simple reading of the Bible will show you that he is. That he's putting all this together. A simple reading of the Word of God shows us that. A simple reading of Scripture shows us there's a conspiracy. I don't believe in those conspiracy theories. God does. That's why he said the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let them be taken out of the way. That's why he says that spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. What is the spirit of Antichrist doing? The work of the Antichrist. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto him in his wrath and vex him with his sore displeasure. What is that? That's a conspiracy against the Lord and his anointed. That's what it is. It's a conspiracy against the Lord. It's a conspiracy against the written law of God. And it's the spirit of Antichrist. When they lost their fear of God in this country, when we lost our fear of God in this country, the written law meant nothing. And they started following the spirit of Antichrist. What is that? That's that Nimrod spirit to rule the world. That desire to rule the world. And so what is Obama and what is Bush and all the others? What do they have a spirit of? Antichrist. Oh, but Brother Bush is a good man. No, he's not my brother because I don't believe he's saved. I believe he's a devil. He said, you say, well, come on now. You're being too harsh. I am. In an interview, he said that the God of the Muslims is the same as the God of the Bible. Do you believe that? Then you call him your brother. Because I'm not calling a man that says that Muhammad, Islam, and Allah, and Jesus Christ are the same. I'm not okay with that, are you? What is that? That would be the spirit of Antichrist. It's the spirit of the esoteric religions. It's the spirit of the Freemasonry. It's the missing word of Freemasonry. It's the spirit of, it's the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Amen? That's what spirit it is. All right. Well, listen, we're going to go to break here. And we've got another song from the Marksman Quartet. And it's called The Upper Room. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
The coffee slowly sobered me as a little lady sang a song. She sang a little out of key. Rock of ages, slow and long. Then a preacher started preaching about an upper room where the Spirit came down many years ago. He told me about Jesus and his salvation plan here in the upper room. Mission home. Tonight I'm in the upper room, and Lord, it's cold outside. It's warm here in the upper room. Last night in the alley I nearly died. Devil in the bottle, don't want me here. listening to this old-time preacher man. I came into this mission just to warm my feet, and now I think I'm learning how to stand.
Politicians and everything that they do, and we first talked about the spiritual work of the Antichrist and the fact in the religious realm, and I really just scratched the surface of that. It really isn't as deep as I could have went with that, but that's okay. We don't have to get too deep with that here tonight. I probably will follow this up in some other time with another message that I preached and dealt with on the spirit of Antichrist. And in the charismatic movement, and that'll make some friends and influence some people for sure. But the charismatic movement and the spirit of Antichrist, it's there. Talk about that sometime. I want to preach another message on that, really, and about the spirit of Antichrist in pop culture, because unbelievable, depths to that, and to understand what pop culture really is and what it amounts to as far as its spirit and everything. But nevertheless, we talked about that spirit of Antichrist and its work and what it does, and the work that it's going out doing before the Antichrist even gets here, preparing the way, so to speak. Paul said it was already out there. He called it the mystery of iniquity. John called it the spirit of Antichrist. And the Bible says we're to try the spirits. What do we try the spirits with? The King James Bible. That's what we try the spirits with. We try the spirits with the King James Bible. Because there are many false prophets that have went out. Many false prophets, and they're out there, friend. We talked about them. Billy Graham and Joel Osteen and Old Smiley Face. I call him Old Smiley Face. Joel Osteen. Ah, another one. Mark Driscoll. Mark Driscoll, the pimpin' pulpit preacher, Mark Driscoll. He is a pimpin' pastor on the pulpit there. That man talks about wicked, wicked, wicked things, things that the Bible says you ought not talk about. He says he has the power to actually look at somebody and say, hey, you cheated on your wife, and I know who it was, and it was this person here, and go ask them. Go ask them right now if they did this. And then they say, hey, they did it. And, you know, and if he has that power to do that, he got that from the Antichrist. He got that from, or he got that from the devil, the spirit of Antichrist. He got that from devils. Devils told him that. You see, only God knows how to do, only God can do that. But now the spirit world can see that, and the devils can show you. The devils can show people those things. That's exactly what happened. You know, that's exactly what happened. You know, anyway, so as we continue on, here with this, you know, we'll have some time. Brother Eric Frank is going to be on maybe a little bit later. I want to finish this up, and then I want to ask him his thoughts about this and what he sees, even street preaching and everything else, and just what him and I have experienced. But we'll wait on that. I'll keep him on hold for a little while, and I'll finish this up here because we're almost done with this portion of it here. And I'll have him come on towards the last 10-15 minutes or so. But the spirit of Antichrist, his goal is to wear out the saints of the Most High. That's his goal. That's what he does. He wants to wear out the saints of the Most High. Now, when the Antichrist comes, the Bible says, it says he'll wear out the saints of the Most High. Well, his spirit is already at work doing that now. The spirit of Antichrist is about his father's business, the devil. He's about his business. The Antichrist is out there, and he wants to wear out the saints. Let me ask you something, friend. Have you ever been under satanic attack? I mean, have you ever had the devil just oppressing you, or devils, that spiritual wickedness in high places? Have you ever had those devils just really discouraging you? You feel down and discouraged, and you feel you know that something's not right. I'll tell you, a few months ago, and it's been about 3 or 4 months, I just had the most sour spirit come over me where I was just, I mean to tell you, it was bad. I mean, I was in a really bad, depressing, I had preached some pretty hard sermons, and the Lord really used them, had preached them pretty hard, and man, I'll tell you what, it just seemed like after I was done and I stepped down from that pulpit that night about 7-8 o'clock, just I felt like I was being oppressed. And it took all the way to the next day, and I just went into my room, and I just prayed it out to the Lord. And I just started quoting scripture and commanded it through the scriptures that those spirits just leave and to stop oppressing me. And they don't like scripture. The Bible says that they'll flee from that. The devil will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll flee from you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God. And, you know, that's what I did, and I felt that lift. But I believe that the devil and his devils, they're out to attack the people of God today. That's what that spirit of Antichrist is doing. Since I came back, you know, I remember I was at a meeting a few months ago at Gateway. It's been about 2 months, I think. I was at a meeting at Gateway Anabaptist. And I'll tell you, that was a blessed meeting. Had a good time with those men and preached on the local church and repentance and had a blessed time. But boy, I'll tell you what, I started getting a few phone calls on my way out of town. Brother Russ and I, we sat in that parking lot and at Gateway and at their meeting house, and we just praised the Lord for the meeting that we had, and we prayed, and you know, and man, I'll tell you, we prayed for half an hour. I remember that, because I remember Tino was getting in his car and he was getting ready to leave, and he seen that we were praying, so he didn't interrupt us or anything, and we prayed. And I'll tell you what, I drove down the road a few hours, and boy, I started getting phone calls that were just bad phone calls of things that were happening in ministries and folks suffering and things that were going on. And it just, you know, I just felt like the devil was just, it was just starting, you know, just weighing down on me. And that's what the Antichrist wants to do. He wants to wear out the saints of the Most High. That's what his spirit is out there trying to do, is depress and discourage. And, you know, preachers, you know, hear about preachers having problems and families being destroyed and ministries being broken up and strife within and many other things. And that spirit of Antichrist was there to wear out the saints, to wear you down and discourage you. I'm not talking about, you know, you sinning and, you know, you having to pay, you know, having to feel the ramifications of that sin. I'm talking about this, the devil just wearing you down. you know it when you just seem like them fiery darts are coming at you. And that spirit of Antichrist working. The Bible says in Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18, there, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. And that devil was hindering Paul from doing the work of God. You say, well, can that go on now? Absolutely, it does go on. It's that spirit of Antichrist, that spirit that's out there in the world that is working, that spirit that wants to discourage, to accuse, to lay a charge against you, to falsely accuse, a lying spirit, a spirit that will lead others to discourage you, to hurt the saints of God, to wear out the saints of the Most High. That sin is everywhere today. It's rampant. You know, we're surrounded by wickedness, and that can discourage us, man. The devil will use that in your own home with your children or with somebody else to try to discourage you. You step out by faith and want to do something for God, and the devil starts attacking your family. But listen, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you remember that, and you cling to that, and you preach the Bible, and you stand strong, and you read out loud those scriptures, and you stand on the authority of the Bible in your home, and with your children, with your family, because the devil wants to wear out the saints of the Most High. That's what he wants to do. That's what that spirit of Antichrist wants to do. But you stand up bold as a lion, and you stand with the Word of God, and you preach it, and you live for God, and you don't give up, and you don't quit on God just because something's happening. Bless God, you stand up, and you keep preaching. You keep preaching that Word of God, and you keep yelling out and screaming out those scriptures, and you keep rebuking those spirits of wickedness. And you stand firm in the faith. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Don't you give up on anybody. Don't you give up on your children. Don't you give up on your family. Don't you give up on your church. Don't you give up because the devil's fighting you. That means that that means that there's something going on, and he doesn't want it to happen. There's a work that God has for you, and he doesn't want you doing it. He wants to discourage you. He wants to wear out the saints of the Most High. Well, you don't let him do it. You stand firm, and you fight. You get that sword of the Spirit out, that King James Bible, that Word of God, and you fight with it. And the shield of faith, and you pray. Ephesians 6, and you stand firm, and you preach against those principalities, those powers, those rulers of the darkness of this world, that spiritual wickedness in high places. Don't you dare give up on God. You quit you like men. You be strong in the Lord. Because the devil's after your family, it ought to give you more of a zeal for God. It ought to bring you to your knees. Trials don't drive you away from God. As a child of God, they drive you to God. You get on your knees and you pray and you ask God for power. He'll give it to you. He'll protect your family. You fight the good fight of faith. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What a promise. What a promise. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He says, yeah, that Antichrist is out there. Yeah, that spirit of Antichrist is out there. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God's greater than you. God's spirit is greater than the devil's spirit. God's spirit is greater than the Antichrist spirit. Rebellion in your home? Yeah, it's the Antichrist fighting. It's the spirit of Antichrist fighting. You can't fight back by getting mad in the flesh and screaming and hollering and yelling in your flesh. What do you got to do? Take out the Word of God and apply it. Take out your sword and fight. Our weapons are not carnal, but spiritual, to the pulling down of strongholds. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. The Holy Ghost in us is greater than that spirit of Antichrist that is out there. And it's out there, folks. The stuff that I've seen, that spirit of Antichrist is working. It's perverted. It's perverting the things of God. I want to bring on Brother Eric Frank right now. Brother Eric Frank, put him through if you would, please. Brother Eric Frank, are you there?
Amen. I couldn't say amen, man. You were preaching there. I was trying to say amen, but I was muted.
Yeah, I know, brother. I was getting excited, brother, getting fired up just thinking about this, because I know when there's opposition, it's because we're doing what God wants us to do, and he's going to fight. That devil's going to fight us with everything, and we've got to stand and quit you like men, be strong, but we don't do it in our flesh. We do it by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
We got to fight with the weapons he's given us. And I want you to talk a little about this spirit of Antichrist. And the one thing I want you to talk about, I want you to talk about this video that you told me about here last night. Late last night, I was really tired, man, when you put that video on. But it was a video of these pastors. And this is that spirit, that perverting spirit of Antichrist, perverting things. What was that? What was the deal with those men? What were they doing in that video?
It was a video from a church, well, it's a synagogue of Satan, but it's a Metro South out of Taylor, Michigan here. And this is the college and career pastor. And about 5 years ago, I don't know, the Lord just put a burden on my heart for all these people that think they're saved in these churches when they're no more saved than Frosty the Snowman or Felix the Cat, you know, because I grew up around this stuff. But and this youth pastor, he's the college and career pastor, he's done a bunch of wicked and perverse songs, just like this Mark Driscoll thing. He did because in order to invite lost people to evangelism, everything has to be about sex and everything that appeals to the flesh. And so he did this video about 2 years ago that had you got to have faith with
George Michael.
He's a sodomite. He had that as a thing. So you have people, different sects, different people that are part of this church, not directly under the Metro South name, but this guy was sitting there. All these guys. It was called the Girls' Night Over, but all these, one of the pastors and all these men, if you can call them that, they all had on their wives' attire and wigs. And they were sitting there acting like sodomites and transvestites. And all my nails and all this just wickedness stuff going on. And I'm thinking to myself, that's satanic for these men to sit around and kid around about this. And I was talking, actually, then the same night, the reason why I found that video was because I was talking to the high school pastor who I was posting some other videos on one of my threads on Facebook, and this other youth pastor, Kevin Mathis, he says, well, what's evil about rock and roll and about having crowd surfing going on or having haunted houses for evangelism? So what? Woe unto you who calls evil good and good evil. So this video, these guys were all acting like a bunch of worldly, ungodly, women and girls, and I'm thinking to myself, what in the world? Like Brother Ike said, you know, they're not even, this is deceptive because at least, you know, the Church of Satan, they're saying Hail Satan, but this is New Testament trying to say they're Christians, but they're no more Christians. They're part of the Antichrist system. I mean, it's just wickedness is all hell. I mean, at 2:30 in the morning, I was just getting, it was just angering me because I'm seeing thousands of these people going to hell, being made twofold child of the devil. It was just wicked what I was seeing last night.
That's right, brother. And what that is, you see, that's what I'm talking about. That's the spirit of Antichrist. It's that perverting of the truth and trying to get a little pinch of truth in there. Just a little pinch and 99.9% worldliness and wickedness, and that little bit of throw in Jesus' name in there, and then you can do whatever you want to do, because the mind dumb Christians in America, or those that profess to be Christians, the evangelical movement in America, will accept it lock, stock, and barrel.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, you can't even, they open their mouth, and it's just, it's quite telling that they're just biblical retards. They don't even know what they believe because it's like they're just parroting what their lead pastor or whatever these guys are called. You know, like this so-called church has 2,000 people over there. Well, you know, I've been wanting to go to preach over there, and so now I'm even more for certain now going to be going over there if I'm not, and going and preaching over there, because plus there's a ungodly, restaurant right there. You know, they're all over the country, you know, but there's an ungodly restaurant right there. It's a family restaurant now, and, you know, but it's just wickedness. Even the other night when we were talking about the spirit of rebellion and Antichrist, we were sitting there preaching at Comerica Park last Saturday, you know, for, Michigan State were playing. But Brother George was sitting there preaching, and, you know, they were all tanked up and drunk and everything. And they come out, and these Catholic kids, man, this one young Catholic kid, they have no respect for elders whatsoever. You know, kids today, there's no fear of God. They're lovers of themselves, you know, haters of God. Man, this kid just, I can't even post the video. This kid was just using the F word in three or four different variations, and just, I mean, it was just pure wickedness. And this nation, the spirit of Antichrist is in this nation and in Canada. Yesterday when we were over at the big house, the U of M, the Red Wings in Montreal, I mean, we must have preached to probably 20,000 people that passed us. And people were taking tracts and everything. This nation is not no Christian nation. This system is given fully over to idolatry. I mean, we're certainly in the last days because there's just no one wanted anything. We were sitting there with these megaphones we have, you know, and they were just walking by as if I was, you know, as if I was some church mouse, as if we were church mouses. They cared nothing for the things of God. Satan has this world deceived. I mean, the Antichrist system is set up. I mean, it is right here at the door, man. And anyone that doesn't say it is, they're lost. They're lost, and I'll tell them they're lost to their face because they are lost, because you can't see all the stuff going on in this world constantly on the news, constantly. Anything that Antichrist, or the Antichrist, the Pope might as well be, but, you know, the gays are okay, you know, atheists are okay. I mean, even now they're finally coming out to where, you know, they have to, this is the last thing, you know, they have to bring it all together, because in Vatican II, you know, they had all ecumenical, they had all religions to coming together, and now with this Vatican III, they're going to have to include the sodomites and the atheists, because everyone's going to have to join together, just like that Bible said it was, you know, for the Antichrist system to be fully to its extent to work. No, it's here, man.
Well, it's here. It's alive and well, and it's working right now, and it's active in this world today that we live in. And unbelievable.
And the church.
And the church. That's right. It's in the churches today. Everywhere you go, you see in the churches, you're seeing this spirit of Antichrist that is pervading. It's invading the churches, and you know they're fooled. They're so fooled. It's like I like it to this Duck Dynasty thing. You know, in this Duck Dynasty thing, these guys are not saved. They believe in baptismal regeneration. At least they're saved anyway. But they believe in baptismal regeneration. But they're able to get away with what they're able to get away with. People are funding these guys. You know, they're funding these guys. They're giving them, I mean, that show is more popular now since the homosexual comments that he made. It's more popular now because now Christians are supporting it hook, line, and sinker. And they're making hundreds of millions of dollars on advertising. These Duck guys are.
Well, yeah, I know. And I was sitting there thinking about it. You know, about 4 months ago or 3 months ago, that's when you really came hard against this whole Duck Dynasty thing. And see, you know, just like Pat Robertson and all these other guys, these Duck Dynasties are just, they're ministers of Satan transformed into angels, as, you know, as Satan was transformed into angel light. These guys are just ministers of Satan. People are flocking to them, just like God said he's going to send the strong delusion. God's using all these people, the Joel Steens, the Joyce Meyers, and now the great Phil Robertson, you know, all these people, because God's just going to be exposing all these fakes and frauds that are in these last days. That Jesus says there's going to be many that come to me, Lord, Lord, did I not do it in this name? I mean, that Phil Robertson's and all of them. I mean, I even seen some picture today. Some guy had the clout and had the gall to compare the Robertsons to Peter, James, and John. I'm thinking to myself.
I had that on my page today. I posted that.
Yeah, I mean, this is just, it's rebellion. It goes all the way back to Satan. You know, the first one to ever speak in Scripture before God said, let there be light, Satan said in his heart, it says, God found the pride in him and say, I will be like the Most High. And ever since then, it's been a battle between God and Satan, and he's just using the men of this world as the pawns and different things as a chess game. And that's why, brother, I keep on preaching, and we've talked, you know, that's why I preach as hard as I do, because, you know, we're in the last days, and you know what? Jesus said you're going to be hated of all men. Your own family's going to hate you, and you know what? Oh, well, you know what? They've written me off, and I have a lot of people who are so-called Christians, you know, that have written me off, and oh, well, you know what? No, hey, man, that's all right. You know, I believe what the Bible says. You go your way, I'm going to go my way, but, you know, that spirit of rebellion, it's a spirit of rebellion, which is witchcraft. I mean, it's all that, you know, and the familiar spirits, there's liar in there, you know. So when you have all these familiar spirits of the Robertson thinking, you know, that they're safe. I just listened to Willie and Phil, both of them said themselves that they said they went and baptized someone in the water, you know, or in a swimming pool, and their work was done. They've said it themselves that, you know, with this stuff. So it's just, you know, we're right at the door. I mean, with everything, technology, everything being there, you're going to be able to see the beast on your phone or somehow or another, you know, when that thing comes alive. I mean, you know, everything is right here at the door, you know, and it's just, and you start preaching against the things of this world, and, hey man, that's the life of it, you know. Paul had those thorns in the flesh, whatever it was, but the thing is, would you not want to be challenged in having your faith in the fiery trials of your faith, or having Satan? Because if you're not being challenged like that, man, you're just gonna, why is Satan gonna bother with you, man? He's already had you defeated, but, you know,
that's
but
right.
We gotta press on, you know, we gotta press on, because, you know, we want to look forward to maybe seeing Joshua or Paul, but, you know, or Noah, but, you know, a lot of times we don't look at it. You know, I had a pastor say, well, you know what? What about Paul coming up to you, or Timothy coming up to you, or Luke saying, how was it to live in 2014 to see the Antichrist system being set up? Or John, the regular, how was it when these things that I wrote onto you, when you seen these things, what was it that you pressed on? You know, you had Brother Cooley, or you had Brother Ickes, or, you know, you even had, Brother Lineman, Jason Cooley's, you know, best friend, you know, just pressing them on in the spirit, you know. But, you know, brother, it's just, we're in the days we're in. We have to keep on.
All right. Well, we are just about out of time here. And I got to cut you off, Brother Eric, because we're running out of time here. But I enjoyed this show here. And the Lord really blessed here. And I appreciate Brother Eric coming on last minute. And, you know, his input here on the spirit of Antichrist. It's everywhere. Just remember that. We'll be back here next week on the Old Paths broadcast.
Stacking stones, one on another. Stacking stones, we're all to see. Stacking stones, one on another. Stacking stones for you and me.